Are you a virtual assistant juggling all the things, you know, inquiries, contracts, payments? It can feel a little overwhelming at times trying to keep up with everything, right? Well, meet your new business BFF, insert HoneyBook. Think of HoneyBook as the upgrade your VA business didn't even know that it needed, taking you from beginner to polished and professional in no time. I've been using HoneyBook since day one of my business, and let me tell you, it's been a lifesaver for this busy mom. It's user-friendly, lets you automate workflows, and my favorite part is that it's completely customizable, so it'll look like it's native to your brand. I know what you're thinking. Do I really need a customer management platform? Well, spoiler, yes, you do. It's the secret ingredient that's given my VA business a 98% success rate of turning curious inquiries into solid bookings. Now, here's the deal. You can score an amazing 50% off right now if you use the link in the show notes. That's right, you heard that correctly. 50% off your entire subscription for any plan. And trust me when I say your business deserves the HoneyBook upgrade. Welcome back to another episode of the Millennial Mom Movement podcast. We are back with a fun episode. If you're new around here, this is something I do about once a quarter, and that is an Ask Amanda Anything episode. So here's how it works. Typically, I will throw up a question box over on Instagram on my account at Amanda Rush Holmes. If you're not following me there, you can go ahead and hit that follow button so that you'll get notified next time when I do put up that question box. And basically, I let you guys ask me anything about business, about life, about being a virtual assistant, working with influencers, whatever you want to know. And I compile all those questions into a Google Doc, and then I answer them here. And so it's really fun. I don't usually read through the questions too thoroughly. I just kind of like copy paste and then just kind of talk off the cuff a little bit. So we have some fun questions. You guys are good at this. And I'm actually excited because we had an idea. This was from one of our amazing students, and she's part of our full-time VA community. And she had the idea to bring these questions into our weekly email. So if you guys are not already on our email list, we send out so much good free value every single week. It is called the A-List. And if you want to get on the A-List, you can head on over to thefulltimeva.com/A-List. And you'll just drop your first name and email into that little contact form, and it will put you onto the list. And we will be answering questions just like the ones that are in today's episode every single week. So that'll be really fun. And if you guys have questions and want to submit them, you can do that on the website underneath where you join the A-List. There is an option to put your questions. So we'll grab them from there, we'll put them into the email, and then we'll probably still answer some of them on the podcast about once a quarter. So all that to be said, let's dive into today's episode. Have you ever felt like society isn't built for moms? Maybe you're a mama with a tiny voice in your head telling you there must be another way to balance it all. You know, working, momming, all the things. Yep, I had it too. And it likely means you're in the right place. Hey, I'm Amanda Rush, a Southern mama with big city sensibilities. I'm the girl that took a daydream and built a profitable virtual assistant business all in the middle of a global pandemic. Now, I work from home alongside some of the biggest bloggers and influencers while running a six-figure agency. Come along as we dive into business, marketing, strategy, and real life as a female entrepreneur. I'm all about simple, easy, actionable steps that get real results. This podcast is for the millennial mom that is ready to kick imposter syndrome and start making money on her own terms. Get ready as we dig in, do the work, and redefine what it means to be a working mom. This is the Millennial Mom Movement. Okay, I thought I'd kick it off with a little bit of a lighthearted question, which somebody asked, how is life going? Give us an update. And I love this question because that's how I am. Like, I want to know what's going on in your life. Like, what are you up to? What's new? How are the kids? Give me all the details. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, the kids are good. Everything's fine. And they're very surface level. And I'm the opposite. I'm like, no. Like, tell me the details. Like, what are your kids doing? What are they saying? What crazy thing happened last Tuesday? Like, tell me all the things. And so that is what we're all about. We're all about transparency on this podcast. Let me give you guys the inside scoop. So in case you guys don't know, I am based out of Atlanta, Georgia. I have two beautiful miracle babies. You can read all about our story over at thefulltimeba.com. And they're both boys and they're wild. They're 3 and 1. And actually, I should take that back. Beckham is 3, but I think by the time this podcast recording comes out, he will be turning 4. And I am knees deep in Pinterest mom world because Beckham is about to celebrate his 4th birthday. And this is the first time that we've done like a full-on birthday party. He's had birthday parties. They've had a theme, but they've been super low-key. Like, there wasn't like extravagant balloon arches or like any of this stuff that you see on Pinterest. Don't get me wrong. Like, we celebrated and we had a great time and we created memories. And he's had amazing birthdays and the pictures are so cute. But I just never really went like above and beyond. And even still, like, this party is very toned down compared to some of the other parties I see on the land of the internet. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I just am not that person to spend like $5,000 on a kid's birthday party. So all that to be said, I started planning out his party. He's so like 100% boy, tractors and construction vehicles. And we know all the names. And by we, I mean we, like him and I know all the names of the construction vehicles. So much unnecessary information is sitting inside of my noggin every single day. But I do it because I love him. And so I thought it would be really cute if we did sort of like a farm theme. And I'm planning it out and I'm like stuck between these two farm themes. And then one night at like 10 o'clock at night, I was like, you know what? What if I let him choose? Crazy idea, right? It's his birthday party. Duh. So I was like, okay, I'm going to set up 3 Pinterest boards because, hello, I'm clearly into marketing and love all things social media and Pinterest and whatever. So I set up 3 different boards. One is like the first farm theme. The second one is like farm theme number 2, like more tractors. The first one's like more barn animals. And then the third one, which I came across on Pinterest, was like kind of like a summer fun theme, like bright colors and like sunglasses and pineapples and just really like fun because his birthday is at the very end of May. So it's kind of like on the cusp of June, even though I know it's not technically summer in Atlanta, Georgia, it feels like summer. So therefore, we act as if it is summer. And so I lay out these 3 themes and I was like, okay, Beckham, I sit him down and I show him the Pinterest boards and I'm like, which one do you want to be your birthday? And he goes, summer fun, summer fun. And I'm like, okay, so what do you want your summer fun to be about? And he's like, I want a popsicle party. Did I give him a popsicle party as an option? No, but he is about to be 4 and has a mind of his own. So obviously he knows what he wants in terms of his birthday party. So his birthday party is popsicle summer fun themed. And I'm not going to lie to you, this theme is so fun. One, because there's not really a lot of popsicle themed stuff already out there. So I've had to be really creative and kind of like bringing the theme to life. It's not like you could go on like Target.com and just buy the whole suite of like farm animal birthday party stuff and be done because that's kind of like trendy right now. Like I really had to think about, okay, what's going to make sense for this birthday party? And I am so excited. I will take pictures. I will put them on Instagram and it's going to be so fun. We invited some of the friends from his class. He's in preschool. And so his friends are coming over to his house and he could not be more excited to eat popsicles with his friends at his house. And we've got like one of those bouncy house water slide situation things happening. I ordered that on Amazon. Wish us luck as my husband and I attempt to put that together. I'm sure that'll be entertaining and like a nice test of our marriage. So anyways, that is what has been going on. And simultaneously to that, Wallace is now 1. He is walking and talking. And it's so crazy because with the first one, if you're a mom and you have more than one kid, you probably know what I'm talking about. But if you're still in like the first blissful first child phase, which is amazing, by the way, this will be like a little peek into your future. So something weird happens. Like with your first one, you read all the books and follow all the Instagram profiles and like are really like tracking the milestones and like, are they hitting it? And like, you just pour so much into them. Like I tried like 150% to be like the best parent ever. And I mean, I think we're doing like, okay, it's hard to tell. But with the second one, you just don't have as much time. And it's not that you don't love them any less, but you just don't have time to keep track of like, are they hitting their milestone? And like, oh, every 4 weeks, like they should be doing this. And now they should be doing this. And oh, let's take a picture and put it in the baby book. No, none of that happens. But somehow they are 10 times more advanced than the first one that you spent so much time on. It is the weirdest thing. At least that's been our experience. So it's crazy. Wallace, he's huge. He's the same size as Beckham. Essentially, they literally are almost in like the same size clothing. Beckham is a peanut, granted. So that has something to do with it, but it's hilarious. Beckham can barely pick up Wallace. Not that he should since he's only three, but sometimes he tries and he literally can't. He's like, oh my God, he's so big and heavy. And it's funny to me because he is a huge child. He's not, but for our standards, he is. And he can already reach the door handles and like tries to unlock the door. He can't, thankfully, but like he literally tries to escape. He's talking and I'm not like, not just like mama and dada. Like he says like, thank you, bye-bye, I do, yes, please. Like two phrase words. And I'm just like, okay, well, you're just moving right along. So it's insane to have like two of them. And I'm just so excited because they're going to be home with me this summer. Typically, Beckham's in preschool and then Wallace is in like a nursery program part-time so that I can do amazing things like this podcast and work and run the business and the team and all that. And so we made the decision, even though they can both go year round and both of their programs, to go ahead and give them a summer break. Because as you know, you only have so many summers with your babies before they're grown and out of the house. And so they'll be home with me. I'll drop down to part-time hours work-wise, and I'll just work like in the mornings really early and while they're napping, and then probably like crack open the laptop at night. And I'm excited. I'm excited to like go get outside and have adventures and go to the pool and do all the summery fun things. So that is what we have going on. That was a very long-winded life update. And all I talked about was my kids because they're basically my whole life. But this is a very self-centered podcast episode because I'm basically telling you all about me. So we'll get to some more things. Okay. Next question on the list is, it says, you mentioned you were on a health journey. Do you mind sharing more? Okay. So just to give you guys a little bit of context, a couple days ago, I like mentioned in passing on Instagram that I have been on a unique health journey and that I've made like some really big changes. And I asked if you guys were interested in hearing more and I did a little poll. And so I'm assuming that's what they're referring to by this question. So we'll just roll with that. So yeah, I have made some really big shifts lately. Just to give you guys a little bit of context, as you know, I had my second baby. He's a year old now. And I did this with Beckham and I did the same thing with Wallace, which is my second boy. And I did not do anything after I had the baby in terms of like a regimented workout routine or weighing myself or trying to hold myself to a specific standard of like, quote unquote, getting back to where I was, which like that's a whole thing in itself. But I just don't do that. I give myself grace for a whole year. I don't worry about it. I don't stress about it. I don't care if my clothes are don't fit properly or I'm still wearing like my maternity leggings like after I had the baby. Like, I don't care. But something magical happens for me. I feel like it takes me maybe longer than most. I don't really know. I don't have a ton to compare this to, but it takes me a while for me to feel like me after I've had a baby and then stop breastfeeding. Because that transition after I stop breastfeeding also shifts my hormones tremendously. And it just takes a while before I just feel like myself again. And I have been very fortunate enough where I haven't experienced things like postpartum depression, which I know so many women struggle with. And so this is just me coming from like what I would consider a pretty leveled out place. I still felt like my hormones were out of balance. So I can only imagine that if I were coming from a place where I might be struggling with depression and anxiety postpartum, that it would be an even longer runway. And I say that out of compassion because like I've watched so many of my friends go through that and I know how hard it is. So anyways, this is a very long-winded way of saying that I haven't done anything health-wise for the past year and I haven't really stressed about it. But at the beginning of this year, we started to experience some growth within the business, which was a beautiful blessing. But with that growth, it put a lot of pressure on the business and therefore myself, because I am the leader of the business. And I know that some of that's internal, just as an Enneagram 3 and like my personality type. However, I was really struggling, if I'm being honest with you guys, with anxiety. I could just feel the stress building inside of me. And I didn't feel like I had the tools, nor was I supporting myself to be able to combat that. And it got to the point where I was having trouble sleeping and I would wake up and my mind was just constantly racing. And so as a person who understands, okay, I can't be like this because I have a business and team members whose families I support that are relying on me, and I have a family and I have a husband. I don't want to be like this. Like, I need to take action to pour into myself so that I can pour into others. It's kind of like that cheesy saying that like, fill up your cup first so it overflows into others. Essentially, my cup was empty and I was recognizing that like there was the cup was empty basically. So the first big thing that I did was I gave up alcohol. I'll give you guys a little bit of a backstory. Obviously, like I didn't ever drink while I was pregnant or anything like that, but alcohol is like a pretty regular part of our life in the sense of like we might go for a date night and we might have a glass of wine at dinner, or we might buy a nice bottle of wine to celebrate a special occasion and we might have one glass, we might have two glasses. And we never really thought about the effects of our alcohol consumption because it was always very casual. Now, I'm not saying that like I was going out and getting drunk or like drinking an entire bottle of wine every single night. That was not the case. But I will be really transparent and say we drink pretty regularly. Like I look back on our life and I can't think of an entire week that went by where I didn't have at least a few drinks because there were so many social occasions that kind of brought that about, if that makes sense. And sometimes it was just like, oh, you know what? It'd be really nice to sit on the patio and have a glass of rosé, or Joshua made tacos, so we're going to have homemade margaritas and like we would have a margarita. It didn't seem like a big deal and it wasn't. But at the same time, I recognized that even when I would drink like one or if I had two glasses of wine, I felt so sluggish the next day. And I hated that. I hated waking up and feeling like I didn't just get 7 or 8 hours of sleep. And I also noticed that it was impacting my sleep. As I mentioned, I was struggling with anxiety and already struggling with like sleep, which as you know, if you're not getting sleep, and also our kids were going through a really interesting transition for sleep. So like they weren't sleeping and I wasn't sleeping and it was like a whole thing. So I decided, you know what, in this season of life, I'm just going to see what would happen if I gave up alcohol. So I literally decided one day like, okay, I'm going to give up alcohol. And then I did. Like we have like a fridge full of alcohol right now, not because we drink that much, but because like we just have it on hand for when people come over and stuff and we literally haven't touched it. So I started this journey and a couple of weeks later, my husband was like, basically noticed kind of a positive change in me and was like, I want to do that too. So he decided to do it too. And we have both been completely sober, not a drop of alcohol for, I think it's been almost 3 months now. I have to like maybe do some digging and look back on the calendar and figure out exactly what the day is to be like, we're this number of days sober. But honestly, once we just took it out of the equation, it wasn't really a big deal. It's like almost like taking it off the table completely just made it not an option. And we even had conversations when we were talking about this decision, like, what if we go on vacation and we like want to have a drink on the beach? I was like, what if we just don't drink alcohol and we drink like a flavored seltzer water or something like that? Like, let's just completely take it off the table. Because if you're like, oh, well, we can do it during this and this and this, but not this and this and this, then it doesn't do you any good because those few drinks are still going into your system and they're still harming your body. I did a lot of research like prior to this decision, and I came across so much information about the long-term effects of just casually drinking. And let me just tell you, not a fan. So we gave it up. We feel great. And honestly, I am shocked by the results. Like, I cannot believe how much my anxiety has gone down. I've like lost weight without even trying, which isn't that everyone's dream. And two, the brain fog has lifted and I just have overall more energy. So the second big change I did was I really started looking at the foods that our family was consuming, including myself. And I like to think I eat pretty healthy for the most part. I'm one of those people that's like everything in moderation. So I'm never going to be like, absolutely not. I will not eat a cupcake. But at the same time, I'm not going to eat a cupcake every single day. That makes sense. So if it's like really good and it's worth it to me, yes, I will eat that delicious thing, but I'm not going to eat it if it doesn't taste really amazing. And I'm definitely not going to do it every single day. And so that's kind of always been my motto in life. However, a while back when we were going through our fertility journey, I really cleaned up all of our cleaning products, the makeup I use, things that were like going on our body, hair care, body wash, all the things, myself and the kids. My kids both struggle with eczema, so this was like, has been a thing for a while. But I felt like there was opportunity with the foods we ate. And so I actually started following somebody online. His account is Flav City, I believe. I'll put the link in the show notes for you guys. But the guy who runs the account, his name is Bobby. And he has an Instagram and like a great YouTube channel with a ton of resources. And he has my favorite thing, which is an app. And so basically I went down a rabbit hole one night and just binge watched a bunch of his content and realized that so many of the foods that we ate regularly that we thought were healthy were actually like completely greenwashed, meaning that like the companies made them seem healthy by using certain language, but basically it's false advertising and it's not healthy. And so now when we do shopping, we're really intentional. We use Bobby's app and only purchase the Bobby approved items. We've been doing this for probably about a month and a half now. And again, I've noticed a huge difference in my overall energy levels. I don't really get that afternoon slump. I don't have as many cravings for sugar. And I feel fuller longer, if that makes sense. So like I don't eat and then like an hour and a half later, I'm like, I'm hungry again. It's like I eat a meal and I'm typically totally fine. Until the next meal, I might have like a banana or apple or something like that snack in the afternoon because like that gap between lunch and dinner is sometimes really long, but that's it. And I'm totally fine. And I don't do the late night snacking either. So all of those combined have been huge for my overall health. And then the third thing is I incorporated movement back into my routine. So I think I've talked about this before, but I use the Obey Fitness app. You can download it from the app store. I think it's like $20 a month. And they have so many different workouts on there. I like to do the Sculpt ones. And I typically do that like 3 to 5 times a week. I do it in the evenings while Beckham is taking his bath. And so he's right there in the bathtub. And then I'm in my bedroom and like they're connected so I can see him. And I'll do like a 20-minute workout. And a lot of times he'll finish his bath and then come do it with me because he loves to do like yoga and stuff like that. And it's honestly just really fun. And my husband will be doing his workout at the same time. And it's kind of like a family affair. And if I don't do that, I don't stress about it because it probably means that we went on a really long walk or hike or something like that. And so I like to incorporate intentional movement, but also just make it fun and get my kids involved too, because I think it's important to build those habits very early on if we want them to see what a healthy lifestyle looks like. So those are kind of the three big things. And then the fourth one has been one that's a little bit challenging for me sometimes, if I'm being honest with you guys, an earlier bedtime. Now, I am 100% a morning person. My brain works great in the morning. But I think because Beckham is getting older, his bedtime is getting pushed back to like 8 p.m. Sometimes I don't want to go to bed until like 10 or 11 because I feel that that is like the only time of the day where I can unwind and have a conversation with my husband that's not interrupted by like a kid screaming. Or maybe watch like a guilty TV show that's really cheesy or do whatever. Like there's so many things that can be done during that time frame. And sometimes it's like if he doesn't go to bed right at 8 o'clock or gets pushed back, like that cuts into sort of like our me time. And then it makes us want to stay up later. So we've been trying to get to bed earlier. If we can be asleep by 10, that is a win. But I mean, there's definitely nights where we go to bed at like 11 and it just is what it is. So that's where we're at in this season of life. Okay, I hope that kind of answers your guys' question on the health front. If you have any more questions about like what I'm doing and what's working and all that kind of good stuff, feel free to shoot me a DM on Instagram and we can chat about it. The next question is, what has been the coolest moment of 2023 so far? I love this question. Okay, well, this is kind of in terms of like the business realm of things, but I think one of the coolest moments of 2023 so far is when I ran into one of my students of full-time BA at the grocery store. So there was, I think it was a Saturday or maybe it was a Sunday. I forget exactly the day of the week, but it's me and my husband and we've got the two kids. We're going to Publix, which is a popular grocery store here in the South. And we're in that phase where we have to get that really large grocery cart that looks like a race car. Yeah, that's what we're pushing. Like if you can drive that cart through the grocery store, you can basically drive anything. And so here I am, I'm like, got my two kids, they're wild, they're all excited because Publix gives out free cookies, which is like every child's dream. And so I'm pushing this like ginormous cart towards the bakery because we got to get the cookies first before you grocery shop. It's like mom 101. And I hear my name and I'm like, I have a very common name. It's Amanda. There's like 1,000 other people with the same name. It's fine. So sometimes I don't think that people are talking to me. And so then she's like, Amanda, is that you? And I was like, hi, but I didn't know who this person was. And that is not surprising for me because I'm terrible at remembering people's faces, which is, I don't know. It's like a thing. I don't remember people's faces. But once you tell me your name once, I'll remember it forever, but I won't remember your face. So I'm like, oh no, is this somebody that I know that I'm not remembering? And then she finally introduced herself and she's like, I'm in your program. And it's so funny because we've actually chatted multiple times. And so it was just, oh, it was so sweet to be able to put a real life human in the flesh. She had her sweet little son with her and oh my gosh, it was just so cool. And she was telling me about how she went through the program and she is leaving her teaching job and now she's able to work full time from home. And it was one of those moments where I was like, wow, this is literally exactly why I do what I do. And so on those days where I'm like putting in long hours or I feel like a little defeated, I come back to that moment of like you impacted one real life human and their family. And now this mom gets to stay home with her really cute son who's little, I think he's maybe 2. And that little boy gets the privilege of having more time with his mom. Like, is there anything better than that? I don't think so. So I always go back to that. So that's by far been the coolest moment of 2023 so far. Okay, this next question is kind of in line with business. It says, what's your biggest business win so far? Okay, so kind of like the last one. I would say it's hard to pinpoint one thing when I think about the business. More so on the agency side, I think there's a lot of really amazing things that's happened. But what I'm most proud of, and I think what's been our biggest win, is our growth. And I say growth not in terms of revenue or how many clients we've gained or anything along that, but the personal growth with myself and with our leadership team and with our team members. This year has been interesting. In business, it has by far been the most challenging year for me as a leader. I've really had to push myself to grow and learn and overcome more so in these last 6 months than I've had to do probably in the last year and a half, if I'm being honest. And it's been hard. And the reason it's been hard is because it's a lot of it's new. It's territory that I've never navigated before. And so I'm having to overcome obstacles that feel really large because I've never gone over them. I actually heard this analogy the other day on another podcast, and I want to share it here because I think this is very accurate of our business the last 6 months. So the analogy is if a man or a woman is walking up a mountain and they're playing with a yo-yo and you're watching him and you watch the yo-yo and it goes up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down and you only focus on the yo-yo, then essentially your emotions are going to go up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down because all you can see is the yo-yo. And so let's pretend like this yo-yo is the business. So if you're looking at the business and you're really zoomed in, it looks like a yo-yo. It's like up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. And that's essentially the day-to-day. But if you zoom out and you look at the business over 2, 4, 6, 8 months, it looks like a mountain. It's steadily going up and it's heading in the right direction. But sometimes it's hard to see because you're looking at the yo-yo. So I hope that that kind of gives you a really good analogy of basically the state of our business. Sometimes it feels like a yo-yo, but if you zoom out, it's essentially a mountain. So I am just at a place where truthfully, I am so proud of where we're at in business. I am proud of myself for being able to grow and continue to learn and recognize that, you know what? I don't always have all the answers and I'm cool with that because I can figure them out. I can learn them. I didn't have this skill set prior to building a business and neither does anybody else. You kind of learn as you go and that's the fun part. So I'm proud of myself. I am even more proud of our team. We, over the last 6 months, have grown and expanded and hired and fired and onboarded and offboarded more clients and more team members than we probably have in the existence of our business as a whole. And again, that's an example of the yo-yo. But if you zoom out, I will say that we have built an incredible team. And I truly mean this when I say this. The team that we have now is so good. And everyone is in their zone of genius. The atmosphere is fun and it's like a let's get done and then go back to having a full life. And I love it. It's one of those things where it's hard in the moment when you're like hiring and firing and onboarding and offboarding and doing all of these things. But again, when you zoom out and you look and see, you know what? We're just climbing the mountain. Then you can say like, this is worth it. And so every single team member that we have on our team right now, we've really handpicked intentionally. And we feel like they're able to serve our clients so well. And that is why I'm proud of them and 1,000 other reasons. So anywho, I'm just so excited. I'm excited for fun new partnerships we have in the coming months. I'm excited because as you guys know, we launched Studio Skills and our summer shop is live. And here towards the end of summer, we are going to start planning out our 2024 in-person conference that will be held here in Atlanta. And I am most excited to take you guys behind the scenes as we build that out for you. And I am excited to hear your feedback as we go and any suggestions and what you want and what you don't want. And also just to meet you guys in person. So once we have the dates for that, I will pass them along. We are working on a venue. And once we get that nailed down, then we'll be able to do dates and start getting you guys that information. And we'll do pre-sale on tickets, which will be discounted pricing. And then the pricing will go up as it gets a little bit closer. Okay, moving on to our next question. Oh, this question's funny. Are you on Lemon 8? If you guys don't know, Lemon 8, it's like lemon like the fruit and then the number 8, is a new social media platform. And yes, I did join because part of my job is just staying on top of all the different platforms out there. And I have to say, I really like the platform. I think it's fun. I like the fresh vibe. I like how it's a mesh of other existing platforms. I am interested to see how long it lasts. Or is it going to be like a Clubhouse where it was really popular for like a year and then it disappeared? Or what is going to happen? I think one thing that is interesting about the Lemon 8 app is there is a strong anti-influencer vibe. However, the content that I see being posted is exactly like every influencer on Instagram. So That's just my two cents. As somebody that is just an outsider looking in, I have not posted over there, but maybe I will. And you can go follow me. I think my handle is at Amanda Rush Holmes. So I'll keep you updated on the lemonade front. This next question, this is a good one. You guys are crushing it with these questions. Okay, do you think the recession will have an impact on the influencer economy? This is a really good question. I think the recession is impacting people's behaviors more so now than they have been possibly even the past year or so. Obviously, we're still feeling the ripple effect from the pandemic. There is no question about that. As far as the influencer economy, I don't see it completely negatively impacting the influencer economy. I just think if you're in the influencer economy, all that it means is you're going to have to be more strategic about the items that you share as an influencer, about the partnerships that you take on, the language that you use, and just your overall approach. I think gone are the days where you can throw up a sale and random items that you see on the internet and make money. Inflation has caused people to do less impulse buying on things like Amazon and all these other places that you saw a massive skyrocket on over the course of the pandemic. That is starting to come down and level out a little bit more. It doesn't mean that people aren't shopping. It just means that they're being more intentional with where they put their money because of inflation, because prices are higher. So everyday items like diapers and bread and milk and formula and things that we have to buy as mom are like double in price. So that money has to come from somewhere. And typically it's going to come from, well, probably like your target budget that you normally spend on fun things is now going to your basic essentials. And so when you do choose to spend your fun money, you're just going to be more intentional about it because you have a little bit less of it. So that's my two cents. Also, I will say while we're on this topic, a recession is typically where you see the most millionaires made. Yep, that's true. That is a true fact. I read that the other day and I was like, yes, that is accurate. And it had a list of all these businesses that were started in recessions and these self-made millionaires because they started businesses in their recessions and they were meeting the need of their ideal audience. If you can solve somebody's problem, you can make money. It doesn't matter if we're in a recession or not. So anyways, I'll get off my soapbox. All right, next question. What advice would you give to the mom with no team who's just starting out? Oh, I love this question. So don't think that I am a stranger to not having a team to support you. And also, there is nothing wrong with not having a team. I didn't have a team for a very long time. Didn't even think that it was an option, to be completely honest. And so my quote unquote team was my husband and my kids and my support system. And that's who I thought of as my quote team because they were here to help me so that I could get the job done as an AKA work. So my advice would be one, start with a list of priorities that you want to tackle in your business and try to do one each day, if possible. If it's a really big one, maybe break it up into like 2 or 3 days. But if you can start by writing everything down and then creating a prioritized list like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I literally do this all the time because I have 1,000 things I need to do every single day, but I know I can't do them all. So I prioritize and I'm like, okay, today I'm going to do these 4 things. Don't make the list overwhelming. Just pick a few, start with that. Once you get those done, you can move another to the top of the list. And my next advice would be see if you can do them. You know, I love my babies, but try to do them when they're napping or asleep. So if that means that you have to give up your late night Netflix watching and go to bed early so that you can wake up at 6 a.m. because your child wakes up at 7, do that because you will not regret that decision. I have done this method for a long time and I'll say 2 things. One, it is a great way to start my day when I feel accomplished. 2, I love that I can get work done and then focus on my kids because then when I'm with my kids, that time with them is actually focused and I don't feel split because I know, you know what? I just already knocked out 1 hour or 2 hours of work and this day is off to a great start. And 3, my brain, and biologically speaking, everybody else's brain is actually firing faster in the morning. There's science behind this, I swear. But basically, your brain capacity lowers as the day goes on because your body is prepping to go to sleep. And so if you can pump out your hardest, most focused work activities early in the morning, ideally before 11 a.m., you're going to be in really good shape. I struggle with ADHD, and this is something that I do to help keep myself on track. I batch all of my really important tasks and get them out of the way in the morning. And as the day goes on, I do more admin. I do fun things like this. I'm recording this podcast in the afternoon right before I go pick up my kids, because I know it's so much easier for me to talk into a microphone than it is to sit down and like map out a sales funnel. So just throwing that out there. Okay. I hope that that is helpful. I also hope that that is encouraging. And I hope you guys enjoyed this Ask Amanda Anything episode. As a reminder, if you enjoyed this episode and want to submit your own question and continue the conversation in our weekly email over at thefulltimeba.com/A-list is where you can sign up. You'll get on the A-list and we send that out every single week. And like I said, we do really fun business tips, behind the scenes stuff. That is also, if you ever like have feedback or questions or want to chat with me, hit reply to one of those emails and it goes directly to my inbox. So that is a great place to reach me. All right, guys, until next time, bye for now. You just finished another episode of the Millennial Mom Movement Podcast. And because I know you're a mover and shaker, here's your action item. Snap a screenshot of this episode, share it over on Instagram, and tag me at Amanda Resch Holmes. Each week, I'll pick one person and send you a Starbucks gift card on me as my way of saying, hey, thanks for hanging out with me on the regular and being a part of this incredible movement. See you next week.